Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Cryptocurrencies have begun finding favor among investors once again. We also saw Bitcoin recently cross or breach $12,000. However, there are lingering concerns that we might see a meltdown similar to 2018 or 2017 that could see the price of Bitcoin fall after a sustained rally. Chris Long, who's the co-founder of CryptoTrader, joins us today on Money FM 89.3 to talk about what he's seeing in the crypto space and whether or not this recent rally or refavoring of cryptocurrencies is sustainable. Chris, thank you so much for joining us. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are in good health, and welcome back to the show.
Hi. Yeah, thank you for having me on the show.
All right, so
a privilege.
Again, Chris, we've mentioned a while ago, crypto or Bitcoin in particular, just as an example, breached $12,000 once again. And folks are actually saying that this is a rally that could extend. But, you know, we have been here before. Case in point, in 2018, we saw it hit those records highs and then plunge dramatically back down to earth. What do you think is different this time around with regards to Bitcoin and the crypto markets' recent pickup as compared to, say, previous cycles?
Yeah, this year, in fact, we saw Bitcoin go from the start of year, which is about 8,000 or 9,000 US, and we are currently looking at 12,000. So I noticed the comparison to 2017. And just to remind everyone how much of an increase 2017 was, it started the year at 1,000 in January for 2017. And by December, it was 20,000. So that's a 2,000% increase. But for 2020, this year, the increase has actually been a lot milder. Even at 12,000, it's roughly around a 30 to 30+% increase. So I would say that this year, volatility would have been a lot lower than 2017, if not for COVID, which hit us. So we had a huge plunge for Bitcoin in March this year, March or April this year, where we saw the $3,000 to $4,000 level, and right now we are back at 12K. I think one of your questions is what has changed since 2017, mm-hmm. 2018 till now. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. So some points though is one of the main changes is that there's a lot of increased regulations in terms of cryptocurrencies at large. Not just regarding Bitcoin. For example, in the US, they are clamping down ICOs. And even in Singapore, we have the government has introduced the Payments Service Act as well. So I would say one of the biggest difference since 2 years ago is that governments have a lot more clarity in terms of how they want to regulate cryptocurrency. But they are, of course, still in the midst of, you know, navigating the space. Another thing that has happened is that compared to 2 years ago, a lot more cryptocurrency trading is now happening directly on the blockchain itself versus centralized cryptocurrency exchanges.
All right. Do you think that the regulators, though, and do you think that the regulations they've enacted, though, are spot on and perhaps it reflects an understanding of how crypto markets can work, an understanding of the challenges that they have to address?
Yeah, I think Singapore has done pretty well for itself. They have been clear on some activities in terms of the initial coin offering, and that has brought down the level of irresponsible fundraising, I would say, when it comes to companies trying to create a cryptocurrency just for funding. But that being said, you know, we still see funds being raised for certain projects, even though some of these projects are created by anonymous developers, and a lot of this money is just flowing into the projects based on a trust. It could be as simple as a post on Twitter, and people would actually deposit money and start to mine or start to try to get an allocation of the tokens.
All right.
So the regulations helped, but it did not eliminate the activity.
Okay, so do you think that this is an area where regulation can actually improve if they can bring some more transparency? Because it seems that there was a point a couple of years ago where it seemed that every week somebody, either a company or an individual, anonymous or otherwise, was coming up with a coin, right?
Yeah, well, Personally, I think it's really good. Because of the presence of regulation, when people think about trying to come up with this coin, they actually think twice. Because a lot of companies have actually been stopped by the U.S. Government and they have been fined. And so this makes it a lot more... This makes such companies a lot more careful when they decide whether or not to raise funds this way. However, I think... even with all these regulations, there is still a level of innovation, still a level of flexibility for developers to actually come up with protocols and raise money for it. So case in point, this year, one of the biggest category that is exploding is decentralized finance on the Ethereum blockchain. So we have developers that are anonymous or pseudo-anonymous, and they come on and they say, look, this is what I created, this is how I can get the tokens, have a look at it, and if you guys are interested, you all can come in and support the project. And a lot of these projects have actually done really well this year.
All right. But the thing is, though, in some ways, one of the allures of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies was that you could see a deregulation of finance. But how do you balance out this fine line? Because it seems that there is a need for some level of regulation to make sure that there's transparency, that there's, the potential abuses of Bitcoin, of Bitcoin markets is mitigated. However, on the other side, you have, you need a sense of deregulation also to make sure that innovation continues to flow in. How do you balance that off, though, Chris?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I don't really have an direct answer for that. Because on one hand, you know, the whole reason why cryptocurrency came into place is that the creators or the community around these cryptocurrencies are saying that, look, the governments are not being responsible with money. They can't be trusted because they are, the real crooks in this place where they're printing money, they're robbing the people. But yet, on the other hand, when you have decentralization, then you have actual, scammers coming in and saying that these are real projects and they are just... investors of their money.
And I think, Chris, that's what scares a number of folks too. I mean, it's this level of, well, it's such a new space and they see also this volatility and there's a worry that they might get scammed. But then again, if there's too much regulation, then that kind of defeats the purpose of a crypto, right? Or the allure of the crypto.
Right. Too much regulation and it stifles innovation.
Right.
Too little and the scammers coming. So it's really a fine balance. And I think the key to that is education. For the investors on the street, think about crypto. I think they have to really understand, number one, what are the risks involved when you buy into a project? And how is that similar or dissimilar from, say, an IPO or venture cap? And education also allows investors to identify. For example, if you learn about token economics, you'll be able to identify, all right, is this cryptocurrency overpriced or undervalued in relation to other cryptocurrencies? And that helps in sieving away some of the weaker projects.
All right. We're still speaking to Mr. Chris Long, co-founder of CryptoTrader here, to talk about the state of crypto markets at the moment. The choice of cryptos to invest in has grown dramatically by leaps and bounds. In fact, every time I check on crypto markets, there seems to be 5 or 10 new ones to choose from. In terms of evaluating what cryptos to invest in, though, Chris, and just to help our listeners who want to dabble in crypto trading or crypto investments, what are the three main things you would advise them to think about when trying to assess a possible cryptocurrency investment?
Right. So the first I would say is liquidity. How easy can you sell this token if you were to invest in it? So the problem with a lot of ICOs in 2017, 2018 is that people would give money to the companies that are raising these tokens, that are raising funds for these tokens, and they realize that after they have parked in the money and received the tokens, they have no place to sell the tokens or to trade. So even if there were places to trade it, the liquidity is too thin. So when they sell their tokens, the price would plummet and they would lose value in terms of their investment. So I think the first thing to look out for is liquidity. Are these tokens trading, at various different exchanges already? And do they have a sufficient do they have sufficient depth in their order books so that you can sell it off when you want to? For beginners, I would say you can try to look at the bigger exchanges like Binance, and if the coins are listed there, they will have gone through some level of due diligence by the Binance Exchange team, and that kind of siphons away of all the outright scam projects. The second thing to look at is the team. How have the team developed? How has the team delivered in terms of their promises on the project? Do they have any kind of bad reputation or history? And the third thing is, what is the token actually used for? Why would people even buy it? And what category is the token in? So I think these are the three main things: the team behind the token, the liquidity of the token, or what category the token belongs to, and how do you actually use it? Like, is there a function to it?
That's a clear checklist right there. You mentioned liquidity a while ago, Chris. Can you talk to us about the state of liquidity for crypto markets? As the critics of cryptocurrencies have pointed out, that because liquidity is still pretty limited, you start to see also a lot of these pullbacks and bouts of volatility, and perhaps even some of these more influential players in these less liquid spaces having more power to influence the price of a bit of Bitcoin or, say, cryptocurrencies. What is the state of liquidity now as compared to, let's say, 2 years ago?
Yeah, well, I think let's talk about Bitcoin, right? Trading volume of Bitcoin has actually surged since 2017. It used to average about 18 million US per day. So that was in 2013 to 2016. And over the last 2 years, that has actually ballooned to 500 million. In terms of their trading volume. So I would say that if you talk about, let's say, $500,000 in Bitcoin and you had to offload it, it probably wouldn't shake the market too much. But if you are looking at it in terms of maybe a hedge fund with a $500 billion treasure chest, then they probably can affect the markets due to the sheer size of their funds. But I mean, if we were to think of it that way, then a lot of assets would be affected as well. If you're talking about, you know, whether it's bonds, whether it's smaller bonds or even penny stocks, all these asset classes are illiquid. And Bitcoin is actually more liquid than a lot of stocks that people are already trading in. In fact, it's even a lot more liquid than some of the SGX stocks that people are trading.
Very interesting. All right, so let's end this interview with this question, Chris. Bitcoin again. I was going to mention that it was consolidating at 11,900. Seems to have blown past 12,000 so far today. Now, it seems that we've seen a breach. If so, what kind of upside do you see from Bitcoin? And more importantly, is there a fear that we might see shades of 2017, 2018, or it hits, say, 18,000 and then plummets back to earth?
Right. Well, I don't think that it would plummet back again this year, namely because of a few reasons. In terms of recognition and adoption, Bitcoin is a lot more recognized now compared to 2018. In fact, you hear about how hedge fund managers, Paul Tudor, he has basically invested into Bitcoin. There are more funds that are coming in as well. And recently, what's interesting is that there was a NASDAQ company called, I think, MicroStrategy, which is NASDAQ listed, and they have made a $250 million Bitcoin investment because they want to maintain the value of their treasury in the midst of all the central banks printing of US dollar. So I believe that in the next few years, we will begin to see more treasury managers, more fund managers consider allocating some of their funds over to Bitcoin and other cryptos as well. You're going to Bitcoin first, but I think as more and more crypto assets gain traction, have increased liquidity, probably some of these funds will begin to allocate into the smaller crypto assets like Ethereum.
All right. Chris Long, co-founder of CryptoTrader, thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3. As always, I wish you and your loved ones good health during these times, and we look forward to having you back on the show, sir. Have a great day.
Yeah, thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.